Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And good morning. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today, who is actually in the nation's capital on a spiritual heritage tour. We're going to be talking about the nation's capital and what has happened today. Some of you may not know what has gone on, but I am not alone to dissect these issues. Abe Hamilton, public policy analyst and general counsel for AFA, Walker Wildman, assistant to the president, and Chris Woodward, news anchor for American Family News, are all here to help you, our listeners, hear and understand and get a Christian context for what is going on in our world. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Good morning.
Well, Chris, it's a strange thing that we're going to lead off with. It's one of those things that's almost Hollywood-esque. What has happened this morning in the nation's capital?
Earlier this morning, between 7 and 8 o'clock Eastern time, members of Congress, Republicans and Democrats, at separate locations were having a baseball practice for what was scheduled to be a baseball game between GOP House and Senate members and Democrats tomorrow. An individual shot open fire on various members of the Republican side at the Republican location. Some people have been hit. Representative Steve Scalise of Louisiana, along with an aide, were some of the people shot. The shooter, according to the Associated Press, has been identified as James T. Hodgkinson of Illinois, and the AP is citing a government official there. Representatives of the Alexandria Police Department, as well as the FBI, which is now involved, just addressed media in the last 20 minutes or so. Brent, if you could, please play clip 5. This is Tim Salter, special agent in charge of the Washington Field Office, taking some questions.
What can you tell us about the suspect?
Is it your feeling at this point that this was, by what you see, number one, a deliberate planned attack, and are you investigating this now on the basis it could be an act of terrorism by the individual?
Ma'am, it's too early to say. It's really raw at this moment. We're just at the initial part of the investigation. So it's too early to say. We're working it both ways right now.
When you say you're working it both ways, so is one of the angles you're exploring, investigating, that it could be an act of terrorism?
We're exploring all angles.
And do you have any information? It is said that there may be a tentative ID, even if you can't say, or specifics, are you beginning to narrow down on the identity of the shooter?
Yes, we are.
Sir, was this an assassination attempt, sir? Was this an assassination attempt?
Do you know who he is?
No, it's not an assassination attempt.
Do you know who he is?
We're still working on it.
Okay, and since that time, the Associated Press, citing an unnamed government official, has identified the shooter as a James T. Hodgkinson. But again, Congressman Steve Scalise, various other people were shot. There were reports that Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama actually took his belt and used it as a tourniquet to help stop the bleeding of at least one person shot. Multiple people were taken away by ambulance and treated for anything from minor to serious injuries. So we're definitely going to see this play out over the course of this program today.
All right. And any information on what's the at least the alleged shooter's name again?
The alleged shooter's name is James T. Hodgkinson of Illinois.
All right. And any idea about who he is or at this point what his motivation might be? And any of you guys can answer. Well, I know we've all been kind of scrambling around trying to get information about this.
I just saw the Washington Post. They broke the shooter's alleged shooter's name. Well, I just copied and pasted that name into the Facebook search bar and quickly came upon a James T. Hodgkinson from Illinois who owns a business, operates a business that fits the description of the Washington Post. And this page has been active for some time now. It's not a fake page, a dummy page that someone created the last few hours like they do sometimes. So this apparently seems to be this gentleman's page.
Well, let's not give any information about his business in case for some reason there are more than one individuals by this name. But the key is, and now this particular, I'm looking at your computer screen, that's his page?
Yeah, the page that I found that matches the exact same name and exact same description as the news reports has a Bernie Sanders picture as the profile picture.
Okay.
And apparently very left-leaning individual, if this happens to be the individual's page.
So my understanding is, again, from the stories that are coming out, and sometimes these can get a little sketchy mm-hmm. just because more than one person is mm-hmm. saying something. But yeah. my understanding was that this individual, Hodgkinson, the alleged shooter in this attack on a Republican congressman at the baseball field where they were practicing this morning, that he asked somebody, are these Republicans or Democrats out there on the field? Mm-hmm. And then somebody told them, and I do remember, I think I remember who somebody's name mm-hmm. was relating this. I can't remember who that person was, but said that it was a strange conversation after the person answered and said, these are Republicans practicing at this field because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. the Democrats are practicing somewhere else. The individual left and apparently came back with a long gun. Okay, so this is Capitol Police mm-hmm. returning fire with handguns, I think,
right.
against a mm-hmm. Is it an AR-15 or did they?
One of the witnesses that was at a YMCA building across the street said he would describe the gun as more of a AK-47 style.
Okay,
weapon. I did hear that as well.
All right, so I'm looking at a Fox News story, and of course, there is a lot of thanks being given to Capitol Police. Mm-hmm. This story here on Fox says lawmakers are crediting Capitol Police with acting quickly to prevent the shooting at the baseball practice Wednesday from becoming, quote, a massacre.
Yeah.
Because as some have reported, one of the congressmen at least said, we were like sitting ducks.
Oh, sure. Yeah, know? Senator Rand Paul has been quoted as saying as much. He actually told Fox, which was one of the first news outlets on the scene, he said, and I quote, without the Capitol Hill police, it would have been a massacre. He described the scene, Senator Paul did, as a sort of a killing field.
Well, I mean, and literally, these guys are out practicing. We all have seen people practice yeah. on a ball field. You know, you are exposed. And you know, and there's nowhere to run and hide on a ball field.
And apparently, there was some report that said that one of the congressmen were asked, "Is this a Democrats' practice or a Republicans' practice?"
Right.
3 minutes after finding out it's Republicans' practice, then you have people getting shot.
Yeah.
I mean,
so we're trying to piece together the motivation here of this Hodgkinson individual. We don't know. We assume maybe he was acting alone. We don't know. Is it an act of terrorism? We don't know at this point.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but it seems clear from initial indications that this was something that was targeted against Republicans.
Yeah, and it seems like a very vulnerable situation. The last place you think you should be watching for gunshots is at the baseball field practicing at 7:30
in the morning.
But fortunately, as you mentioned, Ed, Steve Scalise, who was actually one of the victims here, he had a security detail, I believe two officers, and they were, from what I understand, in plain clothes, meaning you could not immediately identify them as law enforcement. So, but they were armed, and they ended up apprehending the shooter. But as you mentioned, Senator Rand Paul said without them, who knows
right.
who would have died, you know, yeah. and become victim.
Because so. The reports were that this individual was loading and reloading.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this is somebody who has to pay close attention to the inner and outer workings of Congress
yeah.
to know that these yeah. guys are going to be practicing on a ball field at 7:30 in the morning in anticipation of a charity game tomorrow.
Right.
Now, my understanding also from a couple stories that have been circulated here around AFA is that Democrats prayed for their Republican
colleagues,
counterparts,
mm-hmm.
their colleagues,
yeah.
which is that's good. I mean, we have there's a lot of rancor
sure.
right now in between the political parties, mm-hmm. But at least you have the Democrats
right
understanding mm-hmm. that if things go south in this country, it's not just Republicans
right.
who can get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So something needs to be done to lessen the unbelievable hostility
sure.
in Washington.
Republicans did as much in various ways, albeit, after Congresswoman Giffords was shot in Arizona, how many ever years ago that's been at this point.
Right.
So, you know, they do at times lay politics aside and focus on more important things, which in this case was the health and safety of our members of Congress, as well as their aides, too. It wasn't just lawmakers. It was people that work for them.
Okay.
And
that were in attendance or that play in the game?
That are playing in the game as okay. well. Mm-hmm. Mike Brown, chief of police in Alexandria, told reporters emergency medical personnel from the fire department and police department provided treatment to a number of individuals on scene. Some were transported for a variety of injuries and treatment. And then at this point, because the case involves a federal officer, they're talking about House Majority Whip Steve Scalise, I believe, the FBI is taking part of the investigation or taking the lead, which is why we heard from Special Agent in Charge Tim Salter at the beginning of the program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I have not watched the video, but I'm looking at a story, Newt Gingrich wondering how Scalise shooter knew where the practice was.
Right.
I'm guessing there are, multiple fields. Maybe, I don't know whether I'm sure it's scheduled somebody.
Right.
And so I guess what Gingrich is wondering is how does someone outside that circle of members of Congress and those playing the game would find out?
Yeah, because I had no idea, and I'm a news junkie, and I had no idea that they were practicing.
Yeah.
I mean, when
and
I woke up
this tomorrow, it was supposed to be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. When I woke up this morning and saw something about Rep Scalise in baseball field at 7 in the morning.
Yeah, because you asked me when we came in, you said, did you hear about what happened? And of course, when you hear that, I go, oh, my God. Now what?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, so unless local media outlets were reporting on the practice, that's going to be interesting to find out how he found out about
it. It's going to be interesting if it's a Facebook post.
Sure.
If you have members of Congress saying, hey, charity game tomorrow, come on out and watch, and we're going to be practicing at such and such. You just don't know how anybody who's intent on harming someone now, it's not hard to find information in the social media mm-hmm. age. Mm-hmm. So,
and the thing that I'm sitting over here quiet, I have to tell you, I was disturbed. A person who I know personally, went to high school with, I saw a post early this morning, just the callousness, saying that, well, something to the effect of, this is a case of chickens coming home to roost.
Wow.
For posting poison. And I said, wait a minute. Is that really where we are? And I know I see the reports and the news media. I'm an optimistic person by nature, but to have people who could be so callous and immediately go to political ideology, I say
because Scalise is a Second Amendment supporter,
yes,
NRA supporter.
Yes, yes. I say, man, for me, I was heartened to see Democrat elected officials and staffers praying for these guys, because it shows to me, and maybe I'm, I don't know, pie in the sky, I don't know, but at least shows me there is at least some level of humanity left somewhere, where we don't allow political passions to become so all-consuming that you can't stop and think for a minute, wait a minute, there's the majority whip in the House of Representatives was shot.
Mm-hmm.
How can we go so quickly past that concern to think, he does support the Second Amendment? And to see the consistent political rancor, it is just jarring to me.
Well, and let me ask you this. Because as you're saying that, I'm thinking back to things like Sandy Hook
mm-hmm.
and others, because I have seen conservatives
yes.
post in the aftermath of these kind of things, I guess it's what do you expect from a gun-free zone? And what do you expect for, places where they won't? So it seems, but I agree with you, this is a place for the church to enter in and to say, well, wait a second, there needs to be something that binds us more than our political views. Our political views will separate us. They've always separated people. You can go back as long as there's been a public square, go back to ancient cultures. There are political differences. But when tragedy strikes, it should not be a moment when we bring forth our particular political hobby horse mm-hmm. and say, see there, we should give first consideration, and maybe the church is the institution that should remind people of that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good opportunity and a reminder, frankly, for us to be in prayer more for our members of government, our government leaders. Oftentimes we'll pray for their health, or we'll pray for, God to give them wisdom. And just, I mean, full openness here. I mean, I didn't agree with a number of things President Obama stood for and advocated for, but I did go to the Lord in prayer for him mm-hmm. at various times, as well as his family. Not to say that I agreed with him, but, you know, listen, the president is the one that's flying the airplane, if you will. Right. Members of Congress are the co-pilots. If we lose them, something's going to happen to the plane, so right. to speak. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we as the body of Christ should take a step back and kind of set our differences aside and say, look, I don't agree with this, Lord, but I do pray for this man or woman.
Right.
And this, I think, is a good opportunity. And I'm certainly glad, just on a personal level, that we're here talking about that in addition to the news of the day.
Well, I absolutely agree. We need to be praying. And I did the same thing for President Obama and his family mm-hmm. because it's a nice family. Yeah. And they, again, all politics aside, and I actually used to worry a little bit when I saw some of the rancor mm-hmm. On the conservative side, the right side, whatever you want. They have names and labels for all of this. Mm-hmm. But I thought it is bad. Here's why. For a number of reasons, it would be horrific for a president to be assassinated, whatever his or her mm-hmm. party, okay, is because, especially when you kind of reach the level of animosity that we've reached in this country, you start getting tit for tat. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you don't want this to turn into the Roman Empire when an emperor was in place for 6 months and then he was assassinated, someone else took over. That kind of chaos will cause a nation to splinter apart and collapse. So we need to be praying for, because these are institutions. You know, the presidency is an institution. It's
right.
It's greater than the man or woman who inhabits the office.
Yeah.
And we need to remember that for the stability of the nation, for the sake of your kids, your mm-hmm. wife, your husband, your kids, you need to be praying for those members of the political parties, no matter who they are. So
that's why I get what you just shared. I get somewhat emotionally invested in inaugurations, no matter who the president is, because one of the hallmarks of our constitutional republic is that the peaceful transfer of power has been a consistent phenomenon. Even, you know, studying biblical history, you can see whenever you had time where kings were changing, heads of state yeah. were changing, they were always, you know, no pun intended, but hot, bloody messes
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah.
And I think right now we're witnessing the potential. I'm not saying it's happening, but the potential for that fabric to be eroded, to be whittled down little by little because of certain people's antipathy for the present occupant of the White House, whether it was the previous 8 years under President Obama, whether it is President Trump now.
For folks who are just tuning in or are still trying to figure out, piece this together, what we're talking about, this morning at roughly 7 a.m. Eastern, I believe, mm-hmm. the congressional Republicans were practicing baseball in Alexandria, Virginia. Democrats were also practicing, I guess, somewhere around the same vicinity, maybe. I'm not sure where they were practicing.
It was another field.
Yeah, another field. And so, and then a shooter apparently opens fire on the baseball field, and five are injured. That's including the gunman, I believe. One representative, one staff member, two police officers are injured, and then, of course, the gunman is injured. And that's really all we know.
But is in custody.
Yes.
By the way, the name I couldn't remember, Representative Ron DeSantis, who's a Republican from Florida, is the one who had that strange encounter with the man
yes.
shortly before somebody opened fire on Republicans and he asked whether there were Republicans or Democrats practicing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when DeSantis said Republican, he said it was, you know, one of those moments when you go, this is just odd. There's something weird about this. The man left. And so I guess they're trying to piece back together whether this was the same individual that came back with a weapon and opened fire. Mm-hmm. So,
and from what I heard from some witnesses, the Representative Scalise, who was one of the ones probably more injured than anyone else, he was playing second base during the practice, mm-hmm. and the gunman opened fire on the third base dugout, from the third base dugout, and hit the Representative Scalise. And apparently he was crawling to the outfield to try to get away. So it's a very horrific and graphic scene that you can see there with a lot of people who aren't able to defend themselves.
Right. Well, one of the members of Congress, and again, I've been reading a lot of articles, so as these things come to mind, I can't always recall who it was, but it served in Iraq. and you know, said it reminded him of that. Except he said we had no weapons.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's one of those things where, you know, I just read about the about being shot and those kind of things, and a lot of times people will say you don't. Sometimes you don't even realize you've been shot because your body immediately begins producing adrenaline for that flight, fight or flight kind of impulse. So it's interesting. Scalise must have at some point realized, was he was only shot once in the hip, is that
I
right?
I believe so, yes. Okay.
And reports have varied onto the severity of a situation, his condition. The reason I say that is because President Trump tweeted saying he was badly injured. Other people were saying, you know, he was transported, and sometimes people don't really know what to read into that. A hip injury can be serious, obviously. You can lose a lot of blood. Some other things could pop up in surgery for that. He is listed in stable condition by at least one news source, and it appears that Fox News, CNN, just about everybody with a broadcasting license now has identified the shooting suspect as James Hodgkinson. So we do
from Illinois.
From Illinois, so we do see some consistency there.
If this is if this ends up being the individual that I found on Facebook, and again, we're not going to go into details on that person, but this is going to be very interesting because the person I looked at had family connections on Facebook. I mean, it looked like your average person.
Well, let me ask you, Abe, you come from a legal background as and from a district attorney's office in both New Orleans and Houston, Texas. In a case like this, what Walker's talking about, this Facebook page, is this something that law enforcement, if they connected that with the shooter, would it be pulled down or would it remain visible? To anyone who just searches for it.
Well, it could be pulled down, more than likely. If it's connected to him, it could be pulled down, but not only to prevent other people from getting to it, but to allow law enforcement unfettered access to work through the entire profile. Social media has become one of the greatest tools for law enforcement, is that you're able to tease out animus, intentions, conversations, even connections, potential witnesses, all through social media. So, I don't know how long that page, if that is in fact the same James, is it James Hodgkinson?
Hodgkinson's.
I don't know how long they will be. You'll be able to access it publicly.
Because I'm sure the news media will be doing the same thing.
I guarantee you they're doing it right now. In fact, I saw a couple websites that have already linked that to that exact same Facebook
to that
page.
Same page. Okay.
Well, right. Since we've been on the air.
All right. So the you know, I hadn't really thought about that, but the law enforcement. Because if once you gain access, and I guess you'd have to have a, would you have to have permission from a judge, a warrant to access that?
Yes.
And, does Facebook have to grant law enforcement
if they're
permission?
Ordered by a court? Yeah, they do. I can tell you, at least every district attorney's office I've served in, almost every major DA's office in the country has have standard warrant templates for social media on file for instances just like this.
So you could go and if the person's used Messenger, you could find out whether this person had other people working with him.
Yep.
Somebody drove the individual from Illinois to the Washington D.C. area. A friend. They could find all that out by going through.
I can tell you one of the first two things I would personally do when I would get these type of cases working with the law enforcement officers, I would get a search warrant to the cell phone company and provider, search warrant to the social media companies that I find profiles for, to retain all of the information, not to allow anything to be deleted, and to give the law enforcement entity access to it.
All right, when we come back, by the way, folks, we are talking about the shooting in Washington, D.C. area, an attack on Republicans who were practicing at a baseball field in Alexandria, Virginia, before a charity baseball game tomorrow against their Democratic counterparts. No fatalities, thank you, Jesus, and continue to pray for law enforcement to be able to get to the bottom of this. When we come back, Todd Starnes of Fox Radio News. Our folks are familiar with him. You'll hear his regular report here in just a couple of minutes. He'll be on to discuss this attack. And when we come back, we will have more that we're talking about happening in D.C. and around the world.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
The book of Revelation is all about Jesus. I mean, the word apocalypse, apocalypsis, is unveiling. But this book is about Jesus.
We'll also talk with Jan Markell of Understanding the Times and get news headlines from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
A boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. That is a highlight of our tour of the Holy Land when we go on the boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. A special time to be on the very water where Jesus walked, where he spent time with his disciples. And you know, in fact, you're the place where Jesus was. So many sights we're going to see in the Holy Land that are just like that. We know Jesus was here. The trip is in March, March 8th through the 16th. And we'd love for you to come with us. So many places we're going to see, you've read about since you were a child. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, extension 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Ohio Congressman Brad Winstrup said it best. It's a bad day in America. A gunman opened fire on congressional Republicans in a Virginia park. They were practicing for a charity baseball game against Democrats. Louisiana Congressman Steve Scalise was shot along with four others. Capitol Police were among those hit by bullets, but they stood their ground. They returned fire in spite of their injuries, and they stopped the gunman. Other lawmakers rushed to administer first aid. Congressman Mo Brooks from Alabama used his belt as a tourniquet. A field of ballplayers became a field of heroes. For now, the gunman's motive is unknown, and I refuse to speculate. I know many of you are angry, and rightfully so. But I urge you to temper your tongue. There will be a time and a place to address what happened, just not today. Today, it should be about prayer, not politics. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Abe Hamilton, public policy analyst and general counsel for AFA, Walker Wildman, assistant to the president, and Chris Woodward, news anchor for American Family News. We are discussing, and have been since the top of the hour, the attack this morning on Republicans practicing in Alexandria, Virginia, for a charity baseball game that was supposed to be held against their counterparts, the Democrats, tomorrow. And a man who has been identified as 66-year-old James T. Hodgkinson of Illinois has been identified as the, I don't know if it's okay to say alleged now, they're identifying him as the shooter, a rifle-wielding gunman and who shot House Majority Whip Steve Scalise and a congressional aide. And so we're undergoing the process of getting all the information we can. And so to help us do that, we have asked, and he has graciously said yes, Todd Starnes, Fox Radio News reporter. You heard his regular commentary just a moment ago. Todd, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. And that commentary, which was recorded about 9 o'clock this morning, Eastern time, is now outdated because we now know that the suspect has been arrested. And according to the Washington Post, as well as my brief look at this man's Facebook page, it's pretty clear that he was a strong supporter of Bernie Sanders, and actually in one of his Facebook postings called President Trump a traitor who needed to be destroyed.
All right. So now we have seen, Walker found this Facebook page that you're talking about. Do you know whether or not has that been identified as the shooter's Facebook page? We're looking at it right now. with the Bernie Sanders picture, I guess is the profile pic. That's been identified as Hodgkinson's.
Well,
the shooter.
Again, we haven't, you know, I haven't personally confirmed that information. This is the information being reported by the Associated Press and by the Washington Post. The Washington Post interviewed a friend of Hodgkinson who said that he was an active supporter of the Bernie Sanders presidential campaign. And that Facebook page you're referring to certainly would back up those assertions.
Yeah, and it's the guy, it's from Illinois, saying, you know, chances are this is exactly the Facebook page that we're discussing. Todd, let me ask you this, and then guys, the rest of you jump in here, ask Todd whatever you want, but have you ever, now I'm not going to ask you your age on the air. I'm 58. I lived, you know, in, you know, grew up through the 60s and the 70s, and remember, I remember family arguments, you know, with aunts and uncles over the Vietnam War and all those kinds of things. And that was a time, the origin of the Black Panther Party, for example. It was a very, volatile time in American history, recent American history. Do you think the times we are living in right now exceed that hostility?
I believe they do. And for the record, I have to be 49 years old, so I did not grow up in that era. But I do see that something is not quite right, and we are living in some very unsettling and, quite frankly, troubled times. And I thought the congressman from Ohio, who I quoted in my commentary, said it best when he said that today is a bad day for America. I mean, the idea that someone actually hunted down, and I should preface that by saying allegedly hunt down, and target Republican lawmakers. That is an unthinkable thing to happen in America. But if we are to believe the eyewitness accounts from at least two lawmakers, that's exactly what this gunman did. He wanted to know, are those Republicans or Democrats out there on the field? Mm-hmm. Now, do we know that that is the gunman? No, we do not. And the reason we can't confirm that is because the FBI could not confirm that information. So again, we're going off of eyewitness accounts. Something very, very bad is going on in this nation.
Todd, it's Chris here. You have written a lot about God and a lot of people moving away from God. What do you make of reports that Democrats went to God in prayer for their Republican colleagues?
Well, I think that's a good thing. Go to God for comfort and times of need. I think that's an important thing. That's who we are as a people. That's who we are as a nation. We are a nation that was founded under Judeo-Christian values. I wrote earlier that today is not a day for politics. It is a day for prayer. There's going to be a time, and it may be today, where we find out the motive, we get that motive confirmed. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I believe that it's certainly appropriate to respond and to opine.
Todd, do you think it's, and of course, we're a lot of speculation right now. There's a lot of things we don't know. But according to the reports and the name of this individual and kind of his leanings, it appears, is there something, what can we do, we as in the American people and Congress, to kind of tamp down and pull back the radical rhetoric, every day the world's ending kind of rhetoric with the Trump administration? What can be done to kind of tamp this down and bring us back into reality?
Walker, this is something that really started to fester during the campaign when supporters of President Trump were physically attacked by leftists and by Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton supporters. And this sort of behavior has continued. And when you look at the rhetoric coming out of Hollywood and the mainstream media and university campuses, where, I mean, look, just last week, and everybody's been talking about this Julius Caesar play in New York City, there was another play in Coney Island just a couple of weeks ago that actually was talking about, it was called, the actual name of the play, and I'll be writing about this, is called Killing Republicans.
Wow.
I mean, this is, this kind of vitriol, it has an impact on people. And it has to be stopped. I mean, it must be stopped. Mm-hmm. And people have to. I mean, people really need to step back and do some soul searching here. You know, I'm not. This is a very troubling thing that's happening in our country right now.
Todd, this is Abe here. I find it amazing that you have these plays taking place, especially in the aftermath of the whole Kathy Griffin photo scenario. I mean, it's amazing.
And gentlemen, we do have some breaking news. The president is speaking at this moment, and the chyron here at Fox is that the gunman has died from his injuries. That's what the president is apparently telling the nation on television right now.
All right. So whatever they're going to find out about him, whether he had people working with him or not, they're going to have to do that. Law enforcement will have to do that without being able to interview him further if he has died from his wounds. I have no idea whether they were able to interview him after he was shot. Todd, one more question, then we'll let you go, or just one more. I just get your take on this. You know, President Abraham Lincoln, and I don't. Some of my history is a little foggy. I don't remember whether this was during the Civil War or prior to it, but he said, "Our nation." Has to become one thing, all one thing or all the other. And he was talking about the issue of slavery. Because slavery was one of those issues that was just, the two opinions on it were mutually exclusive. You couldn't sort of have slavery. You either had it or you didn't. And I guess, you know, President Lincoln understood this as being a house divided against itself cannot stand. Do you think we are at that place in the United States when you have a secular, humanistic, atheistic left, for the most part, and then a conservative side, a right that is not exclusively, but certainly primarily rooted in traditional morality, religion, and those kinds of things. Are we in a similar place where it's going to become all one thing or all another? You can't have two mutually exclusive ways of looking at the world. Is that what we're seeing playing out?
You know, Patrick Buchanan wrote a column on that very issue the other day, just really raising this question of, you know, are we heading towards another civil war? And there certainly does seem to be a divide, there used to be, at least in Congress, you know, the blue dog Democrats, and the moderate Republicans would sort of be the middle ground, and people were able to get things done in Congress, you know, through compromise. But now there's really no such group in Congress anymore. I think it's an us versus them mentality. But you better believe there is a significant war on American culture and ideology. And I warned people in my book that it was not going to end just because President Trump got elected. And I know it's entirely coincidental, and I want to stress this, entirely coincidental. But that hearing, that Senate hearing just the other day, when Senator Sanders screamed at Mr. Vought, the Christian nominee that President Trump was putting forward for the White House Budget Office, screamed at him about his Christian faith. That, to me, really said a lot about where we are as a country right now and the level of animosity towards people of faith. So, look, again, it was entirely coincidental, but to answer your question, I do believe that we are a divided nation, and it is a very dangerous time in America, and I think the country really needs to do some soul-searching here.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, I'm clicking on links from the Drudge Report, which take you to various news outlets. But apparently this gentleman posted, and I think maybe you, Todd, mentioned this earlier, or someone, that this gentleman posted recently in the last few months or weeks, that it's time to destroy Trump and company, meaning Republicans. So a lot of a lot of rhetoric from this gentleman's page, if that happens to be his page.
It's got to stop.
Yeah,
I mean, it's got to stop. These professors that are out there saying we have to, you know, assassinate Republicans. We have to. What is it? The professor who said the House Republicans should be lined up and shot, and that blood is on their hands with Obamacare. I mean, I actually have a list, and we're going to be pointing all of this out in a column I'm posting later today, just to again demonstrate this is what's out there. This is what happens. This is what happens as a result of that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rhetoric's got to come down.
Yeah, absolutely. Todd Starnes has been our guest. He's a Fox Radio News reporter. His regular commentary is heard daily on American Family Radio. Todd, thank you so much for giving us some inside baseball look at what you see on a daily basis in the political realm, and we look forward to your column. Tell our listeners the name of your book and where folks can get it.
Well, the book is called The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again, and it really is a way for us Christian citizens to engage the culture. And folks can get more information about that at toddstearns.com, and that's also where they can read my column, which will be up later this afternoon.
All right. Todd, thank you so much for being willing to come on at the last minute. We appreciate it.
Glad to do it.
All right. Thank you. What's funny about what Todd was saying, not funny, ha-ha funny, but odd about it, is these kind of statements happen so regularly. Mm-hmm. I had forgotten some of what he was just talking about,
right?
Some of these statements. They happen so often, you get lost. This whatever article he's going to write, and he's going to post it at toddstearns.com, I'm looking forward to reading it, because you almost need a refresher of all the kinds of things that have been said with this violent intent being propagated. And I got to say, I don't think I'm being partisan about this. This is almost exclusively on the left.
Yeah. Well, you look at the Berkeley protest, you have conservative speakers wanting to just speak at campuses, college campuses, and they're burning things down. And the police are letting them do it.
Right.
And then you go to when the campaign was going on, you have then candidate Trump, you know, trying to have campaign rallies. And then you have people coming in there, getting in fist fights, turned out to be paid protesters.
Right.
So the rhetoric has been ramped up for a while now. So if this turns out to be caused by rhetoric or have you know, liberal leanings behind the motive there, it shouldn't be a surprise that this has happened after a year or two of dangerous rhetoric.
And you know what's, Abe, let me ask you, the left, you know, hypocritically, for years, the left has accused groups like ours of inciting hatred and violence. You know, the Matthew Shepard murder in 1998, some people remember it was in October of 1998. I remember it distinctly. A young gay man who was murdered, and immediately the left turned to groups like ours and said, "You caused this. He was murdered because he was gay." Now, it turned out that wasn't the reason why he was murdered, but they said, "The hateful things you say in promoting your religious views caused this to happen." Now, we hear that a lot. Mm-hmm. What they're referring to is our own beliefs in contradistinction to their beliefs on contentious issues. That's not what we're seeing here on the left. We're not just talking about people disagreeing. We're talking about people advocating violence. I don't know anybody on the right. I certainly don't know any Christians who have advocated murdering people, and yet the left is constantly pointing to conservatives and conservative Christians as being the haters, and your language is, you know, verbal violence. We hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do hear it all the time. And it is just, as you said, that it seems to be a recurring theme with actual steps towards violence being taken by the left. And the thing that is most jarring, I got to tell you, I'm really kind of still stunned sitting here, focusing here, because what happens is that they don't just have reasonable disagreements concerning policy objectives. They have to demonize, and I would add in dehumanize, the opposition, which then justifies what they would describe as their moral outrage to opposition. They feel justified in, you know, throwing Molotov cocktails at a college speaking event.
Yeah.
They feel justified. Even there was one of these people who did, you know, the interviews on college campuses on Berkeley not too long ago, whether or not they felt like violence is an acceptable means of resistance. And it was amazing to me the number of college students that said, well, yeah, if you're opposing things like Donald Trump's policies, if you're doing things like that. And clearly, if it pans out that this Hodgkinson's fellow was a rabid Bernie supporter and felt like it was time for him to, you know, take out Trump and company, who is company, perhaps the majority whip in the House of Representatives.
Right.
If that turns out to be true, it gives further evidence for the reality that progressives decry conservatives for their rhetoric, while progressives are actually committing acts of violence.
Yeah.
In response to calls
to act violently.
And bear in mind, one of the most well-known people of the party at the moment, former First Lady Michelle Obama, at the convention last summer said, when they go low, we go what?
High.
They're moving pretty low at this point.
This is the most absurd statement I've seen today. Governor McAuliffe from Virginia, which is where this incident occurred in Alexandria, he immediately comes out talking about gun control.
Right.
Wow.
That's some of the first thing he said is gun control.
Wow. Now,
that's typical, though. That's typical for Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, is to use incidences like this, like Sandy Hook, like, you know, some of the other attacks, you know, the murders of Americans.
But usually the talking heads and commentators bring up their agenda and their gun control stuff a day or two later. On talk shows. There's still blood on the baseball field, and he's out here talking about gun control, and he incorrectly, he says we lose 93 million a day to gun violence.
93 million?
And a reporter says, that's a big number, Governor. And he didn't correct himself. 93 million a day to gun violence.
I don't even know.
Yeah, that's what he said in his press conference. I mean, who wrote? What is he doing out there talking when there's still people being you know, carried off?
Did I hear recently hear that Terry McAuliffe has presidential ambitions?
I heard that too.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I think she's a Fox News commentator, she said in response to the governor, and of course Governor Terry McAuliffe goes for more gun control as Republicans attacked, so they only had baseball bats to defend themselves.
And bear in mind, not to get into the gun-free zone thing that we were talking at the beginning of the thing that some people do point to, a lot of the gun control efforts that federal lawmakers have been pushing for and state leaders have actually passed would not have prevented things like Sandy Hook or some of the other gun incidents that have occurred that they tried to prevent in the future.
All right. Well, folks, we're going to continue to look and follow this. Obviously, this is a breaking story. If you're just tuning in and maybe you were at work and you did not hear the news that at 8 o'clock Eastern or 7 o'clock Eastern?
7:30.
A gunman by the name of James T. Hodgkinson, a man from Illinois who the president, in a follow-up speech, President Trump, has said died from his wounds. But he opened fire at a baseball field in Alexandria, Virginia, where Republicans were practicing baseball for a charity game scheduled against Democratic counterparts tomorrow. And there have been no fatalities. House Majority Whip Scalise was injured, shot in the hip, but no fatalities. So continue to pray for all of that. We'll continue to follow this story. Chris, before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about the young man from North Korea.
I've heard some people say.
Warm beer, looks like. Now this, we've kind of mentioned this on the show.
This
was in the wake of, or might have been prior to, I don't have the chronology right, of the visit to Korea from,
Dennis Rodman?
Yes, Dennis Rodman. All I can remember was his nickname, the Worm.
Yeah.
Dennis Rodman. who is apparently a good friend with Kim Jong-un, the dictator in North Korea. But this young man has been, and I didn't realize he had been held in prison in North Korea, hard labor, for well over a year, January of 2016. Once you kind of up,
he was sentenced in March of 2016.
Okay,
yes.
March of 2016.
Not long after he was sentenced, we've now learned that he went into a coma and has been in a coma. That story broke yesterday, and Walker brought that up, that update. It was a kind of a joyous occasion yesterday when we heard that this individual was going to be coming home, and the news broke that he was in a coma, according to reports. But USA Today this morning had a story saying the family of this man is going to be speaking to media today. 22 years old. He's been in a coma since March, not long after he was convicted of touching or trying to steal a poster that North Korea claimed was some sort of act of aggression on his part in the United States. He gave a confession in a video, and you could tell it's one of the coerced statements, you must say this or die situations. So definitely we're going to be seeing a lot of things about this man. Why is he in a coma? And, oh, by the way, North Korea's leader still wants to pursue nuclear activities. Dennis Rodman's over there. I mean, a lot of people have called this kind of the Cuban Missile Crisis in slow motion, talking about North Korea's nuclear situation. Mm-hmm. Wars have been started over people, citizens of a country being treated wrongly or killed. It's all the more reason, again, I keep bringing it back to prayer, but it's all the more reason we need to be praying for our leaders, because these kinds of situations don't turn out well, history would show.
Well, do you happen to know why this young man, Otto Warmbier, was over in North Korea? Because to me, I just think nobody who doesn't want to wind up in prison should go to North Korea for any reason.
Friends of his from college, University of Virginia, I believe is where he was studying at. Mm-hmm. He went with some friends of his to college to North Korea. I don't know why. I certainly never aspired to go there. I don't want to go there now. But there have been, people in prison for so much as crossing the border or climbing the wrong mountain and things like that. North Korea looks for reasons to put people in prison, specifically Americans. And this man, unfortunately, may have been in the wrong place at the wrong time, and North Korea took advantage of that.
I remember reading something that they had taken a trip to China, and they went into North Korea from China. That they were
intentionally, because sometimes accidentally they will get arrested.
It was like some type of sites tour or something, and on the last day of the tour when they were finished, they arrested this guy at the airport in Pyongyang.
Yeah. Well, these kinds of dictators are notorious for their paranoia, because they usually, oftentimes, not necessarily, this is a kind of a dynastic ascension there. His father and his grandfather's grandfather started the communist North Korean state. Kim Jong-un, however, like a lot of dictators, is paranoid about losing power. I mean, I had his brother, wasn't it his brother?
Yeah, he's had relatives, close friends of the family.
Yeah. It's typical. You go all the way back to Caligula and it's typical ancient Greece where they would kill family members, because they get to power by violence, and they know if they're going to get out of power, it's not going to be, like you said, Abe, it's not going to be because of a vote in a peaceful transition. It's going to be because they die. So they're incredibly paranoid, and they will project that paranoia into anyone. So you look, like you said, they climb the wrong mountain, you were spying. So they keep that kind of lockdown with fear. So anyway, please pray for Otto Warmbier, who has apparently been in a coma for well over a year. Pray for his family. Continue to pray for members of Congress and all the branches of government. Our country's in serious trouble, so above all else, pray for revival for America, because this country is sick at heart. All right, we're going to take a 5-minute break for news. When we come back, we should have an update for you from Target, and then some additional stories that we'll be covering. Steve Jordahl will be giving us the lowdown on those.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.